translation and purport of Srila Prabhupada. Even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary system, their minds, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material condition. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is to be said of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? It is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in this material world, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although He is situated so near to us. For those always agitated by material conditions, the yogic process is recommended so that one may concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Dhyana vastitaha tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogina. Because in material conditions, the mind and senses are always agitated by the yogic procedures like dharana, asana and dhyana, one must quiet the mind and concentrate it upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the yogic process is a material attempt to realize the Lord, whereas bhakti, devotional service, is the spiritual process by which to realize Him. Maharaj Khatwanga accepted the spiritual path, and therefore he was no longer interested in anything material. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can I be understood. One can understand Krishna, the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only through devotional service. The Lord never says that one can understand Him by performing mystic yoga or by philosophically speculating. Bhakti is above all such material attempts. Anya bilasida sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana or pious activities. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shlakhayam chakshur unmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakalam Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranavami Hari Priye. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahamundi Shri Guru Dinataritam. Hare Krishna. It's I've been quite rusty with giving classes. It's been quite a while since I've taken a break from this, so I beg for all of your blessings, especially my seniors, like Atma Vidya and my god sister, very dear god sister. So please bless me so I can say a few words that may purify me and inspire everyone else. So I'm reading this verse, and what's coming up for me is I read this verse in Prabhupada's words. Prabhupada is talking about how difficult it is, even for human beings personalities like demigods, who are very, very empowered, very much in the mode of goodness and empowered, and they have so much more benefits than us as human beings, especially in Kali Yuga. And how even they struggle. It's difficult for them. It's difficult even for such personalities to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So what hopes do we have? On the other hand, here Prabhupada's giving the example of Katwanga Maharaj, who within one moment attained, realized Krishna. And Prabhupada said, because he's using the process of bhakti, devotional service, which is a spiritual process, Prabhupada says, rather than a material process. So what comes up for me here, if Maharaj Katwanga can actually attain Krishna in 1 minute with the devotional process of bhakti, which is something we're all trying to follow here, how come thank you. So how come we are not at that stage realizing, attaining Krishna, feeling completely blissful? We've got that process Prabhupada has given us. So what's stopping us from realizing Krishna in our heart? He says, Hiddeshi, he's in our heart. He's so near. He's in us. He's within us. He's everywhere. Inside, outside. Yet we can't. And we've got that bhakti process. What's stopping us? Come on. Yes, Gurudas?
Offenses.
Very good. What else? Yes. Sorry, Jagatpriya? Material attachments. Yeah, Prabhupada used the words anxiety. Yes, Atma Vidya? Same, material attachments. Yes. Yes. So we are lacking the mercy of the Lord, did you say? Yeah, so our heart is not able to receive the mercy of the Lord. So why is our heart not able to receive the mercy of the Lord? Yes, Prabhu. False ego. Very good. So there are two things that stops us apparently from directly experiencing and connecting with Krishna or this process. It's false ego and envy. False ego and envy. And when we have false ego and envy, we commit offenses, as Gurudas say. So that's the source of offenses. False ego and envy cause us to commit offenses. And when we commit offenses, we can't actually connect with Krishna, realize Krishna, or feel the bliss of connection with Krishna. So we've got this process. So easy. Yet, we are not able to take advantage of it because of this false ego, because of this envy. And this false ego and envy causes us to be materially attached, as you said. Because we're relating everything on the bodily platform, on a false temporary platform. And we become attached to all these things which are temporary. And these material attachments, Prabhupada say here, is the source of all our anxiety. And because we are suffering so much, Prabhupada says here, because of all these material anxieties, which is due to our material attachments, it's very difficult for us to focus on taking advantage of this highest, most beautiful process Prabhupada has given us, bhakti. We're so disturbed, especially in Kali Yuga, it says the age of coral hypocrisy. Everyone is so unfortunate. We are so disturbed here. I definitely can say that for myself. For me to just try and focus on just chanting, you know, even one round, like fully focused, so difficult. My mind just goes here and there and everywhere. And if I really think about it, they're all anxieties to do with this material world, as Prabhupada says. It's the source of our suffering. Yet, we're so attached to it. Actually, in a sense, it's so absurd. It kind of means we are actually attached to suffering. It's very absurd. Because like Maharaj Khatwanga, we can give it up in one moment if we want to and fully connect with Krishna and take advantage of this process and be blissful. But we're hanging on to all these attachments because of our false ego and envy of Krishna and envy of other living entities, part and parcels of Krishna. I do coaching, you know, personal transformation coaching. And sometimes we give an example in there about a man who's, you know, he's molested a little girl. And he's taken to the courts. Why did you do that? It's not my fault. I just couldn't help it. The girl, the way she was dressed, the way she was looking at me, the way she was walking. So he just blamed it all on the girl. He said, I just can't help it. So at that point, the court judge said, he says, okay, if I was to bring a room full of gunmen, policemen with rifles, surround you, we'll put the same girl there in the same way, dressed in the same way, behaving in the same way, and we'll tell you, if you touch her, we'll all shoot you. Will you do that then? No. So we can. Krishna has given us the power. If you really want to, if we really understand the urgency of fully connecting with Krishna, our constitutional position, devotional service, we can be so happy, blissful. And I'm sure all of us here have had that experiences to some degree. And sometimes we can go back to that experience to remind us, to help us. I know some devotees tell me when they first came here and they took a bite of the rasgulla and they felt something completely, you know, they felt something like out of this world. something really special. You know, it's just like, wow, I was thinking, I didn't get that experience. Why is it? So I was looking at it in a material way. So different people, when we do connect, yet again there are times when all of us have had that blissful feeling, moments of that. And so, you know, in coaching there's another thing where we call NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. We can reconnect with that moment. Reconnect, take those moments when we really felt that joy, that bliss of connection with Krishna, of serving Krishna, of devotional service. Reconnect with that moment, re-experience that, remind us that whenever our mind, this is what I try and do when my mind is going everywhere. I remember I says, no. You know, I can try and do everything to try and solve my material anxieties and problem. My mind goes, my head goes here, there, everywhere. And it just gets worse and worse. And finally, you think, damn everything, let me just sit down here and chant Hare Krishna and just take shelter of Krishna. One thing that's coming to mind is also the pastime in Mahabharata of Draupadi disrobing. I remember telling one of the tenants that's living with me in the house, she's new, Krishna consciousness, and she's got a little baby and it's difficult for her to really focus and chant, and sometimes I notice she's watching television and chanting at the same time. And so I was just casually chatting with her, talking about, and she says, oh, but it says in the book, I read your book, it says there that if you chant Hare Krishna one time, and we can be, you know, all our sins will be finished, and we will be free, and we will be liberated, and we'll be... And she says, how come I'm chanting and I'm not feeling like that? How come I'm suffering so much? And so I was laughing to her, and I was saying, I just recited to her the pastimes of Draupadi. I said, when she was taken to the assembly and being disrobed, and she was calling out. She was actually always calling out to Krishna in between, but at the same time calling to her husbands, to Bhishma, Mahapita, and all the great warriors there. And in Dwarka, Krishna and Rukmini, you know, were serving their pastimes, and apparently they were playing chess, and Krishna kept getting losing the game. And Rukmini says, what's the matter with you, my lord? You always win. What's happening to you today? He said, oh, a devotee of mine is in distress, in real distress, he says. She said, well, then go, help her. Why just sit down here and, you know, be disturbed? And he says, yeah, but she's not really calling me. You know? She's not really calling me. But she says, no, she's calling you. She's really crying. She's calling you. He says, no, she's not really calling. Because she's still feeling some dependence on her family and her husbands. And then, when none of them to help her, they just put their heads down, and she just like totally like, gosh, what's happening here? She just hold on tighter to her sari. So she started depending on her own strength. Sometimes we come to that point in life and we think, there's no one here really who cares enough about us. No one here really who can help us. I've been through moments like that when I feel completely, who is there for me here? And then I start to go into that blame game. This society, I have friends, they are spiritual, they're supposed to be there for me, my family. Nobody's there for me. Then I go into the self-pity game. Then I start thinking, okay, I'm going to help myself. Then I start trying to take steps to do something, and nothing just crash, crash, crash. And then I'm thinking, well, what's missing? Krishna says, endeavor. Now I'm endeavoring. You know, and I'm waiting for his mercy. Then I realize, his mercy, as Jagatpriya was saying, will come when we are totally dependent on him. Yes, we endeavor, but that endeavor should be just a way for us to show him that, my Lord, I want you. I totally depend on you, and I fully trust you. I know you are my only well-wisher and best friend. I know I will be safe in your arms. I know I will be fully protected and sheltered by you. I just have to give myself to you. I remember Bhakti Chumash giving an example. He says, oh, for a wrestling match, someone we're wrestling with, you know, they beat and beat and beat the pulp out of the person. But all the person has to do, if they surrender, it's over. Jai Shri Radha Gokulam Sitaram Lakshman Shri Govind. Surrender is all we have to do, rather than fighting this battle. And we do endeavor. That doesn't mean that we don't endeavor. But we endeavor without attachment. We endeavor with detachment. Detachment means we do our duty, we do what we have to do. And that's our way of showing Krishna that, Krishna, we want you. We're trying our best, following this process, following this path, because we want you. We want to be reconnected with our original constitutional servant, as positioned as your servant. And then Krishna will reveal himself to us. That's his mercy. It's very often, even times when you do feel the bliss, like, no, with my own little experience, it's like I realize that it's absolutely nothing to do with my endeavor or something I've done that has caused me to, you know, feel this beautiful spiritual connection or moments. It's totally Krishna's mercy. The endeavor is our way. And so we're saying what blocks us here is our attachments, our false ego, our envy. As Jagatpriya is saying, our heart is not able to receive the mercy because of all this darkness, layers blocking us, covering us from connecting with Paramatma in our heart. The consciousness is the consciousness that takes us from one birth to another, here and there, everywhere. And it begins with our thoughts. We are thinking something connected to this material world, material attachment. We contemplate on that. Our thoughts make us act according to what's going on in our mind. And our action becomes a behavior pattern. And from the behavior pattern, we form our characters. And then in this cycle, again and again. It's all in our subconscious mind. So from birth after birth after birth, we've been covered with this material coverings. Now this process is giving us a chance to remove this covering. And so sometimes people say, well, if we just chant Hare Krishna, everything will be fine. Don't have to do anything else separately. So that's the understanding of the spiritual process. Prabhupada's talking here, devotional service. Yes, it's true. But if we can chant Hare Krishna purely without offenses, but most of the time, in general, like you say, we are not able to. Otherwise, one chanting of the holy name will be up, flying in the sky. So that's why Rupa Goswami says, this path of bhakti is like a two-way track. A two-way track meaning it's watering the seed and pulling the weeds. So watering the seed is chanting Hare Krishna, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, doing all these activities. And pulling the weeds, what does that mean for you? Atma? Following the six ways, the six paths of which is giving and receiving, charity. Because when you are relating to people, naturally all this stuff come up. So you say pulling out envy and lust and all this. Yes, because we realize always with our interaction with people, with ourselves, with Krishna, all this stuff comes up. So when this stuff comes up, what do we try and do? We're supposed to deal with that. When we chant Hare Krishna, this stuff comes up. This is also the anartha nivritti process. And we're supposed to take a look at all this dirt, darkness, covering in our hearts that's blocking us from directly experiencing Krishna. And we have to work on that. Work on our consciousness. Most of the time what we like to do, we say it's like the beach ball. You know, we pretend it's not there. We just push, try to push it down under the water and just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's okay, it'll all go. But if we continue to be chanting with a disturbed mind, with all this consciousness, with the mode of passions, ignorance, offenses, how are we going to ever take advantage of the holy name? In fact, I've heard Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that until you're chanting offensively, that's not the holy name that you're chanting. That is not the holy name. And so we think we are chanting the holy name, and why? Everything will be taken care of. We don't want to do the work. Because it's very painful actually to do the work of pulling these weeds in our heart. And it always comes up, like Atma said, in our interaction with people. In our interaction with ourselves, we can try and hide it. In our interaction with Krishna, we can try and hide it. Only Krishna knows, that's okay. No one else knows. But we start dealing with each other and devotees, she says, the process of six loving exchanges to devotees, then all this stuff come up. All this false ego. I just remember Prayojana walking around that day and he saw some leftover food and orange left, and he comes up to me and is like, Mataji, did you leave this here? And I was like, immediately my false ego sprung up. Why are you asking me? And then I was just like, okay, calm down. A false ego is like, why are you suspecting me? You know, I had to come, so it's okay. Let's deal in a different level. So this false ego is always springing up. Envy is always springing up in our relationships with other people. So you have to work on purifying this heart, purifying the mind. And sometimes that's about training. Yes, we're saying, you know, Prabhupada also talks about being in the mode of goodness is the springboard for transcendence. Because when our mind is peaceful, when we're in the mode of goodness, when we are doing things from a higher consciousness, then we're able to absorb this process of bhakti better. And to come up to the mode of goodness, most of the time, the mode of ignorance and passion, we're just battling with all of that. Just, you know, I just want to rest today, and I'm just like disturbed because I'm so passionate in my mind. And so to help us. So anything that we use to help us to connect with Krishna, then that becomes Krishna's. Then Prabhupada says, yeah, I mean, that's not my understanding of what is material. It's material when we are separately trying to, like all these processes, yogic processes Prabhupada talking here, is when we're separately thinking with our endeavor alone, we can realize the Supreme Lord. So like, you know, doing all this asana, you have to be in the mode of goodness, and you have to control your mind, you have to control your senses, and by doing that, I will realize Krishna. No, we also try and control our mind, our senses, everything. We also try to, but we do that always remembering that ultimately Krishna is the one. It's only with His mercy can we actually come out of this material conditioning and really take shelter of Him. So like a little child, like he wants to reach something, or sometimes you go to the circus, you see they hit and the ball goes up and the kid, I want to do that, mommy, I want to do that. I say, yeah, yeah, okay, you do it. They lift the child up, they pick the child and they let the child pull the string and ding, it goes and yeah, I did it. It's mommy like, yeah, you did it in a sense. But someone had to lift you. So just like that, he did it, but he was dependent on the parent for the child to do that. Same way. We endeavor, we show our desire, like the child, we have a desire and we endeavor, we try our best. But like little kids, what can we do? You know, like you say, demigods, Prabhupada saying here, have difficulties trying to attain the Supreme Lord. Well, we humans, Kali Yuga. What's our chance? So our endeavor is just our way to show Krishna, Krishna, we really want this. Please help us. Like when a child cries out, mommy, mommy, I really want this. Please help me. And we keep crying out to Krishna and we keep endeavoring to show Krishna, I do want this, I do want this. And who does Krishna reveal Himself to? Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, He says, my dear Arjuna, I'm revealing this most secret of all knowledge about Myself to you because you are my friend and you do not envy me. I mean, take a look at ourselves. Who do we reveal ourselves to? If I go up to someone and just take a hammer and hit them on the head and say, tell me more about yourself. Tell me, tell me, tell me. Do you think they're going to tell you all their inner core, their hearts, their deeper secrets? No. But if you develop, if they trust you fully, they know you don't envy them. You are their well-wisher. you truly care. And slowly, they will open themselves up to you. They reveal their heart and mind to you. That's one of the six processes. To reveal our heart and mind in confidence to each other. So when we are fully developed our trust in someone, we have no envy in someone, then only the other person feels safe to reveal themselves to us. Same way Krishna is saying, Arjuna, I will only reveal myself to you because you are my friend. Friend means no envy. You do not envy me. You are my well-wisher. So, for Krishna to open himself up to us, he needs to feel safe too. Why should he reveal himself to us if we are going to misuse that? We are going to envy him and utilize it for our own sense gratification. Why would I give myself to anyone or give anything to anyone when I feel they're going to use it in a selfish way? I'm just looking at the time, it's 8:30. I'll end here. Any questions, comments? Actually, we don't really have time for that, but something quick.